I want to say a word before I bring this message to you. On Monday night, I preached this message in revival. And the way I introduced it, I said, I've never preached this message before. Nobody's ever heard this message. And when I get through, you may wish you'd have never heard it. And so I had no idea that I'd share that thought with you this morning. But I'll just say this, I'm more than likely, this will be the last time that I ever preach this message. The truth of it, I will, but the message itself. And you may wish that I hadn't preached it this time as well. But I pray God will help us this morning and magnify some things, make some things real to us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to preach from one verse as a text, but I want to read quite a few verses in this passage of Scripture. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. While I'm reading that, just for while I pray, I want to say I appreciate Brother Gary. He came and worked yesterday at the house, but also he preached for me on Wednesday night. Now, I know if you were here, you were blessed. I appreciate he and sending, God sending them here. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you now for the blessed presence of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for blessed Brother Brad, our father, in leading the choir and the congregational this morning. Thank you for the good singing of the choir and Brother Rodney. Thank you, our Father, for touching Brother Danny. God, I want to thank you for the truth of that song, that God, as we invest our lives, as we invest what you entrust to us in the way of money into the cause of Christ, Lord, it brings a great reward. We'll never understand the full reward of our giving to the Lord or giving to missions or investing in the lives of others until we reach heaven. But God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would help us, Lord, to have a heart to give, to love you. Our Father, I thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture where we're reminded that we were dead in trespasses and sin. We walked according to our old wicked nature, according to the course of this world. We were, our Father, subject to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience. But God, I'm glad that your mercy reached down and your grace reached down. And so many people in the sound of my voice here in the building and in the internet and radio audience, our Father, they have been touched by the grace of God and they've been saved. God, I want to thank you for the reality of heaven. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us to live here on earth as heaven is our home. And God, I thank you now for all you've done. Thank you for God's people's kindness to me and Regina. Lord, for their love demonstrated to you and to us. I ask now, God, your blessing on each one of them. Lord, if there's a lost person here today or in the media audience in the sound of my voice, I pray they'd be saved. I pray God's people would be helped and encouraged. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read another passage of Scripture just before I give you the title of what I'm going to preach on. Notice in the book of Ephesians, I read this to you. I want to re-emphasize this. He emphasizes this in verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now turn over to the book of Revelation and let me show you something in the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. Revelation chapter number 19, and I want to read verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I read a passage that speaks of the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan himself. I'll share some other things with you in regard to princes in a few minutes. I don't know about you, but there came a point in time, the first part of last week, the latter part of the week prior to that, when I'd heard just about all I wanted to about HB2 and Prince dying. I'm sorry for the young man's death. I'm sorry for the way he died. I had wished he'd been saved. God's not willing that any should perish. God loves everybody. But I tell you, it was HB2, Prince, HB2, Prince, HB2, HB2, Prince, Prince, Prince. That's all I heard. And something rose up inside of me, and I don't know, I just got to be who I am. And I thought this thought in my heart. Now, I can't blame it on the Lord. I just thought it in my heart. The prince is dead, but thank God the king's alive. Praise God. I wish everybody would make as big a deal over Jesus being alive and the King of Kings being alive as they did over a rock star being dead. Now, when I was years ago, old Brother Mays Jackson used to come and he'd preach at the camp meeting for us. And back when Elvis died, Brother Mays, he'd go preach a revival. And on Sunday afternoon, being a full-time evangelist, he always had a Sunday morning service and an afternoon rally for the radio ministry he had. And in the afternoon, he'd always preach some type of sermon, I guess you'd say, with a catchy title. He's wanting people to come. And so for quite a while there, Mays preached on why Elvis died. Why Elvis died. And we went and heard him preach that. I still don't know why Elvis died after I heard him preach. But it was a good message, and he used it to get people's attention, something people were thinking about. And old Johnny Cook, our friend, Brother Johnny, Johnny's famous for borrowing sermons, and that's what preachers do. They borrow sermons. And so he didn't preach on why Elvis died. He preached on Elvis is dead, and I don't feel good myself. If you know Brother Johnny, you know what I'm talking about. That was his title. Well, I want to preach this message this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing and encourage your heart as I want to bring you a message entitled, Prince is Dead, but Jesus, the King of Kings, is still alive. Amen? In this passage of Scripture, I read a passage that said, the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is that? That's Satan. If you go through the Bible, you'll find that he's mentioned several times. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, he's called the prince of this world. And the scribes and Pharisees, when the Lord Jesus Christ was doing his miracles, they said in Matthew chapter 9 and chapter 12 that he did it by the prince of devils. And so Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the prince of this world. He's called the prince of devils. That means he's the chief over all of the devils. I want you to look at something. When we were thinking about this young man dying, and he was 57 years old, he's born June the 7th, 1958, and died on April the 21st of 2016. His name was Roger Nelson. When he died, he was worth $6 million. And I had heard somebody say that he had come to know the Lord. I didn't keep up with him, didn't read, don't watch anything like much on news like that, in the papers, anything else. But I thought it enough interesting, and I picked up just enough from some of my friends to know how to go to Google. You can put anything you want to in Google and look it up. And I was amazed when I looked it up of all the stuff that was there about Prince. But what really got me stirred up was when I got to seeing that the Sunday immediately after Prince died, that churches across America draped their building with purple. There were preachers who wore purple robes and purple suits, and their whole services began, many of them, with this famous song, Purple Rain, and that Sunday was dedicated to the memory of Prince. And I thought, my gracious, he must have really, really been a wonderful Christian. Well, when I did a little research, I found out that he converted to become a Jehovah Witness. And I want to tell you, that's a lot different than being a Christian. Now, I know I'm on the internet, and some of you look at me like a calf looking at a new gate before I'm through, but I hope that you'll listen to me. This young man died not believing that Jesus was God. He didn't believe Jesus was God. His religious affiliation taught him that Jesus was not a God. He was a normal man. Born as a human, he's lived a human. He elevated himself to the elevation of God. He was not born God. He was not the eternal Son of God. He didn't believe in the eternal hell. I'd like to add this. He very possibly does today. There is a literal hell. There is a place where people suffer and bleed, where people suffer and they weep and wail, and there's no rest there at all in a place called hell. But, you know, I got to thinking about it. I got to looking at all the things in there, and he was, when he first began, before I realized what it was all about, he was talking about a spiritual experience he had and all. And you, listen, I don't have any written documentation for what I'm fixing to say, but if you want to go on the internet, you can find it if you want to. I'm not encouraging you to do that. But he was, one of the first things on there when I was looking up about this, about him, was he made this reference, and this was still before I realized, you know, that his religious beliefs, and he was very religious, spiritualist, say that. He was a spiritualist. I want to remind you that when Paul went into Athens, as he went in, he saw God after God after God. You see, the Greeks had made a god out of everything. Every rock, every stump, every tree, every flower, every bird, every person, even elevated people to the elevation of God. And then when they didn't have any other thing to do, they made one statue to the unknown God. And when Paul went in, he looked at all these people and he said that you're far too superstitious, which means religious. You're worshiping too many things. He said, you even have one here to the unknown God. He's what I want to tell you about. It's the God that you do not really know. And that is the Lord God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died for your sin. My dear friend, I got to looking at that. And before I understood all that was going on, I heard him, had a little clip of him in an interview there. And he said that what had directed him in his thought pattern and religion was a fellow by the name of Dick Gregory. And I remember that name from days gone by. He was a black comedian and a racial person involved much in race relations and everything. And I said, well, I do know of folk who in the later years have gotten saved, and maybe Dick Gregory did. And so if you go to the internet, you'll see it looks like a great big camp meeting scene. There's a great, I mean, just great spirit there. They are shouting and hooping and hollering and everything. And from a distant pan, you see this old man, Dick Gregory, and he appears to be preaching, has the facial expressions and the vocal voice and the motion of his hand like he's preaching. And then it comes on down, and he said this. And I really prayed about whether to say some of this stuff or not. You think I'm kidding you, but I'm not. And he said that what he began to study, look at over the years, what's wrong with all our black men? Why do we rape? Why do we kill? Why do we do all these things? What's wrong with our black men? And I thought he's just fixing to say it's because the same thing's wrong with white men. That they are lost and on their way to hell. And the Bible said that they walk according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit of disobedience, and they need the grace of God, and they need to be saved. But you know what he said? You're not going to believe what I'm fixing to tell you. You look it up. Dick Gregory said, have you ever noticed all these contrails up in the air, where jets go by and leave a little trail? He said he got to notice there were so many of them. Then he got to do some research and got to do some studying. And then he got to talk with some other people and everything. And he said that what he thinks it is that the white race, and I'm not trying to stir racial, I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to tell you, preach a message to you if you don't leave me before I get through. I told you it'd be last time I ever preached. You don't have to listen to it one time. You know what Dick Gregory said? He said what it is the white people during the middle of the night or flying over the ghettos, and they are spraying a certain substance on the black ghettos that make young black men go crazy. He said it'll make you want to kill your mama, make you want to kill. You think I'm kidding you? Look it up. And you know what people were doing? They were shouting like they just said Jesus Christ will save sinners and his shed blood will wash you whiter than snow. They were swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. And Paul said to that church, you're all together too religious. There's one God. One God. Listen, I want to share just a few things with you real quick. The prince is dead, but thank God the king's alive. In the first place, let me suggest this to you. I was listening to one of the early morning shows, and they were talking about Mr. Prince, and they said this about him. They were amazed at the fact that he was a master of 20 instruments. Now, we had Ben Rochester here the other night, and the Rochester were here. And I'm going to tell you right now, I told Dan, and I was kind of being facetious a little bit, and Brother Craig, they were standing there, and I said, I don't know much about you, but I kind of think he can play. Brother Dan said, he is very, very, very good. Ben Rochester can play anything he picks up. I thank the Lord for that. But it said that Prince was the master of 20 instruments, but the King of Kings is the master of everything. He's the master of the seas. He was on a ship one time with his disciples, and it was being tossed to and fro, and he was down asleep in the bottom of the ship. And these men he was with were not novice. They were weathered, hard sailors. And they woke him up and said, Master, we perish. Now, if you'd been on there and I'd been on there, if it got a little rough, we'd have thought we'd be scared to death. But these fellas had seen it as bad as it gets. And when they said that we're perishing and we're going down, they were not exaggerating. They were telling the truth. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus got out, walked on the deck of that ship, and he said, Peace be still. He mastered the storm. I'll tell you something else. The King of Kings can master the storm in your life. He can master the sea. He can master the elements. But I'll tell you something else. He can master, my dear friend, Satan. In the beginning of his ministry, he went out into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. And the Bible said, and Satan came to him and he tempted him in several different ways. He said, climb up on that pinnacle and cast you down. The Bible said, let not suffer foot be destroyed. But he said, if you'll cast yourself down, he said, the angels will bear you up. He said, turn these stones into bread. All these other things he told Jesus. And every time he tried to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Thank God he's the master over Satan. My dear friend, you know what he said? I'm no match for the devil, but he is the King of Kings, my dear friend. If you'll surrender yourself to him, yield to him, the Bible said you can submit yourself or humble yourself to God. If you'll resist the devil, then he'll flee from you. Not because of you, but because of the one who's in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And my dear friend, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Prince is dead, but thank God the King of Kings is still alive. He'll master the storms in your life, and he'll master, my dear friend, the Satan that comes against you, but he's the master of sin. Not one sin he can't forgive, not one. He said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And whatever it is, people say, well, I've got this sin, that sin. I just can't get the victory over it. But the Bible said this, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. And there's no temptation taking us, but such is common to all men. But with every temptation, there is a way of escape. What's the way of escape? It's the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ. He'll give you victory over sin. But that sin that's ravished your life and that sin that binds you, he can give you freedom from that. He can set you free from that because he's the master, not only of the seas and of the storms and not only of Satan, of sin, but he's the master of sickness. And everybody that ever came to Jesus that he chose to heal, he healed. All manner of diseases, he can do that. Thank God he's the master of the sea. Thank God he's the master of the storm. He's the master of Satan. He's the master of sin. He's the master of sickness. And thank God he can give you everlasting life. I was reading through about Mr. Prince. And when I went through, I noticed this. It says that he wrote all of his own music. And that's a gift. That's a talent. I wish he'd have used it for the Lord. Fanny Crosby wrote, I believe, over 6,000 songs. She's blind from birth. And she wrote, God gave her gifts, but she wrote songs like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. She wrote songs like this, that visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Oh, listen, all the wonderful songs that Fanny Crosby wrote, thank God for that. But Mr. Prince wrote all of his own music. But you know what? The King of Kings wrote this Bible. The Bible said all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for reproof, for instruction, for correction and righteousness. You know, all of this, the Word of God is God-breathed. And thank God you can depend on it. It's this book that told you about yourself, about the Savior. It's this book that told you about your sin. It's this book the Holy Spirit of God used to convict you of sin, righteous judgment. It's this book that God used to tell you that if you call on Him, He'll save you. It's this book that when you called on Him, He saved you. And it's this book that taught you how to live for Him. It's this book that tells us about the prospect and the promise of heaven. And thank God for that. I praise God. Listen, He wrote the Bible. He wrote the Bible. In all of the Psalms, 150 of them, He may have used David and some other people, but the Bible says He used God to used all those people to do that. And thank the Lord for that. You know what they said about Mr. Prince? They said his music changed the world of music. You know what I'd say to you about the King of Kings? He created the world. Praise God. Nobody got too excited about that. In fact, they'd rather you not believe that. They'd rather you believe this is a Big Bang theory or everything evolved or whatever. But my dear friend, He created everything you see. When you go out, you know what David said every time I go out at night? He said, when I see the stars, he said, when I, in the daytime, and I see the moon, when I see the sun, he said, all those heavenly bodies, he said, I say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, when you see the beauty of God's creation, the awesomeness of God's creation, when you see all that, it'll remind you, thank God that the King of Kings, He did more. He did more. He created the whole world and everything that's in it. He's our creator. The Bible said that nothing was made without Him that was made. He fashioned and made everything. And it said by Him, all things now consist. He holds it all together. He's in control of all of it. And thank God for that. What a blessing it is. They showed on the news the other night the compound in which Mr. Prince lived. They were very impressed with that. Very impressed with that. But the King of Kings lives in mansions. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He lives in the third heaven, my dear friend. The King of Kings lives in a mansion. And best thing about it, one of these days you'll get to go there. Old Brother Mays and Billy Kelly went one time, toured Biltmore House, the largest estate, largest private residence in the United States. It's awesome. If you've never been, you ought to go sometime. Take a pocket full of money with you, and you'll need it to get in and get out, too. But my dear friend, old Billy Kelly, several years ago, amazing brother Billy Kelly went through there, and they went through, and they showed them all of it, told them about the design of it and the wealth of it, this, that, and the other. And when they got through, they said, what do you think about it? Old Billy Kelly said, honey, he said, where I'm going up in heaven, this wouldn't make a good wash house. But thank God, listen, I'm glad, listen, thank God that Jesus Christ has said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You get to live there forever. The Bible said the walls of jasper, streets of gold. Thank God for that. Gates of pearl. Amen. For those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. I think that's something to get excited about. I think that's something God's people ought to get as excited about the Lord Jesus Christ who wrote the Bible, who created the world, who's master over everything, my dear friend, and who lives in a place called heaven. And he prayed in John 17, said, Father, I pray they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. Prince died in an elevator. Jesus died on a cross. They did an autopsy after Mr. Prince died to try to determine why he died. But you don't have to do an autopsy on Christ to know why he died. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would dare to die. But God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know why he died. He died on that cross. You say, did he die because of the pierced side or the crown of thorns or the nails in his hands or any of the beatings and bludgeons that he got before he went to the cross? No, none of that killed him. Didn't kill him. He dismissed his own spirit. If he hadn't done that, he'd still be there. He said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it again. I know why he died. Only one reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoso believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know why he died. I know why Jesus died. He died for you and he died for me so that you don't have to die so you can go to heaven. Thank God that he died for that reason so you could do that. I want you to look in a passage of scripture in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Listen, you're not going to believe this, but I'm looking at some of your faces right now. I'll get some phone calls before the day's over. I preached this in a little country church, and you know what? The preacher come in the next night. I went up to him, spoke to him, hugged him. I said, how's your day going? He said, it's been rough. I said, what? He said, boy, the devil stirred up. Part of it had to do something I said. part of it had something else that went on. But there are some folk in an independent Baptist church that got upset because, not because they thought I was being disrespectful of the Lord or anything, but because I was saying something about somebody they held in high esteem, and that their daughter held in high esteem, and their granddaughter held high esteem. And I'm going to tell you, you better know what your children listen to and what they're doing. I'm going to tell you, there's a spirit, the Bible said, they walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And my dear friend, listen, the children of disobedience, the Bible said, listen, it says this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Thank God for that. Mr. Prince died, and he's still dead. But the King of Kings died, and he's alive forevermore. Thank God for that. I'm glad he's alive for more. You say, Brother Billy, what's that mean? It means that he paid the sin debt. The wages of sin is death. Every man who'd ever died before that stayed in that grave. Stayed in that grave, believers and unbelievers, until the Lord called Lazarus out of the grave. But listen, he died again. But Jesus Christ said, I died. I was alive. I died. I'm alive now forevermore. Won't ever die again. He died once for all. He's alive forevermore. But what happened is, when he went in that tomb, they placed him in that tomb. He came to that tomb 3 days later. That's just a validation that sin's debt was paid for me and you. He paid our sin debt for us. He died for us. He paid that sin debt. And he's alive now forevermore. Forevermore. He's alive forevermore. He's here today. And some of you whose spirit's rising up in you right now, and you say, preacher, ought not be saying all that. I don't, you know, I prayed. I said, God, I don't want to say all that. I'd just soon do something different. But listen to me. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we have elevated entertainment and entertainers and sports and everything to where they're equal with him so far as our time and our means and our worship in America. They worship everything and everybody. And he's not King of Kings for everybody. He is King of Kings, but they don't see him as that. He's just one among men. He's an add-on. He's an add-on. Just like in Athens. He's just one of many, the unknown God. My dear friend, I want you to know he's King of Kings. He's King of Kings and royalty. They cremated Mr. Prince. I don't want to be unkind. But you know what that means. It means he went up in smoke. The Bible said in the book of Acts that Jesus went up in the clouds. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Immediately after his death, they canceled all of Mr. Prince's upcoming concerts and appearances. You know why? Because he ain't coming back. But when Jesus ascended out of their sight, were seated up into a cloud, the angel standing there said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? That same Jesus you see ascend up in heaven, he's coming back again. And I'm going to tell you right now, this crowd around here that gets upset and worships everything but God, I'm talking about Baptists and Baptist churches and everybody else, they elevate entertainers and entertainment to the level of God and it consumes them. He's coming back. And you'll find out then who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's worthy of your worship today. He's worthy of your praise today. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings in his rank. He's King of Kings. Nobody's higher than him. He's been exalted, the Bible said, and he gave him a name which is above every name, every king, every ruler of every age, every one of them. He's higher in rank than they are. He's higher in royalty than they are. Nobody like him. He's royal. He's royal. He's higher in his riches. King Solomon was the richest man that ever lived. And listen, old Prince had $3 million, or $300 million. They said on the internet he was worth $300 million until he died. And when he died, you know how much he has now? Zero. Jesus died, and he had everything he had before he died, and then some. He's rich. He said, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. All the stars that you see and all the ones you can't see, he owns them. Owns them. He's rich in grace. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in holiness. He's rich in wisdom. There's none like him. None like him. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. You know what the Bible's saying? Notice in the book of Corinthians, if you will, there's a little passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to just read to you real quick. You don't have to turn to it. I'll read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read to you verse number 6. In 1 Corinthians and chapter number 2 and verse number 6, it says this, howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. You go back and read Jesaja. He said, you know what happens to the princes of this world and all the wisdom of this world? They come to naught. Now, I know you don't use that word very much anymore, but some of us who are a little older remember using that word. You know what naught is? It's nothing or zero. And if you're doing math, if you add naught to naught, you get naught. Amen? And you can take all the princes of this world, he said, add all the naughts together, and you know what you end up with? Naught. Because he's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's over everybody and everything. He is the King eternal. Thank God for that. He's wonderful. Listen, Prince's famous song was Purple Rain. I don't have any idea what's in the song. I've never read it. I hadn't looked it up. I don't think I will. But I'll just tell you, Purple Rain. In the book of John chapter 16 and verse 11, the Lord said that the Holy Spirit would come and he would rebuke the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world, and you could put an S on if you want to, the princes of this world are judged. How's that? The Bible says, appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Who does all that judging? Who officiates over all the judges of all the kings and of all the judges, of all the slaves and all the rich men and everything? Who is the judge of all the whole world? It is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible said the Father committed all judgment to the Son. But the prince is judged, but the King of kings will be the judge. You'll have to answer to him for what you do, for what you worship, for what you put your time and money into. And I'm going to tell you, anything, listen, Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, said this. She said, anything that cools my love for Jesus and my devotion to him is worldly. It doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It doesn't have to be illicit sex. Anything in this world that cools your love for Jesus and your obedience to him is worldliness. I want to tell you right now, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. You can trust him. If you want to love somebody and worship somebody and idolize somebody, if it were, I'd suggest you focus on him. Look unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. You can trust him. He's rich, far richer than you could ever imagine. But most of all, for me and you, he's rich in grace. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. I don't care who you are, what you've done. He's able to save you and forgive all of your sin. Not only able, but he's willing to do that. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you'll come to him this morning, he'd save you. And for you who are Christians, those of us who know the Lord, I would remind you that he is coming again. And we need to be doing what Jesus would have us to do and love him and serve him. Thank God we have a living Savior. He's died one time on the cross, but he said, I'm he who was alive and I died, but I'm alive forevermore. Thank God for that. Amen. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I'm so thankful that he's alive. I'm glad that You know, there are some people who have great riches, but you won't ever see any of it. They're not willing to share with you. But you know what he said of us? The Bible said that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means? It means by trusting Him as Savior and Lord, when you get saved, you are joint heir with Christ. You own everything He owns. Everything that He has is at your disposal. He's blessed us far more than you can ever know. More than you could ever calculate the value of your salvation. The fact that you'll get to live in heaven for all eternity. You're far richer than you imagine, because the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all the endless expanse of space. And He made you an heir and a joint heir with Christ. All that's His is ours to enjoy for all eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, make much of Jesus. Make much of Jesus. Praise God. I wish the whole world, wish the news media and everybody would make much of the death of Christ and the burial and the resurrection as they do of other things and other people. That's not going to happen. The world is an enemy of the cause of Christ, the cross of Christ. He only has one means and one way of magnifying His name in this world. And that's through you who are sitting here this morning, those who join us in the radio and internet audience. He's chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You are His ambassadors for Christ. I encourage you, my friend, to lift high that bloodstained banner. Magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful every day to talk more about Him than you do about anything or anybody else. And magnify Him with your voice, with your life, and with your testimony. And magnify Him in your prayers as you seek Him daily. Let's stand together. Please, thy heads bow. Not going to give a long invitation this morning, but I'm just telling you that there's one who's rich in grace. He's able to save to the uttermost. And while some people's music may change the world, this King's message changed my life. Had it not been for hearing the gospel as a young man, I could be dead, very likely dead and in hell right now. But He changed my life. Oh, all the joys and privileges I've known to have a wonderful family, a wonderful wife, to have all these years of ministry and be around the greatest people on the face of the earth. Oh, that's because He changed my life. He'll change you this morning if you'll come to Him. I invite you to come get around this altar. Some of you might want to come get around this altar and just thank Him that He's alive forevermore. And for all He's done for you, will not be long. I invite you to come. Heavenly Father, God, I did try to obey You. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, there's been something said that would cause people to think and to want to know You and seek You. For those of us who are saved, that we'd understand once again that You're King of kings and Lord of lords. And our Father, our praise ought to be for You. Our adoration ought to be for You and You alone. You'll not share Your glory with another. God, help me to lift You up, magnify You. And I pray, Lord Jesus, this morning You'd speak to hearts. There are several around the altar already. I invite you to come, just quickly to come. God leads you to come. If we can help you in any way, we'd love to do it this morning. Just obey the Lord. Whatever God leads you to do, invite you to come and trust Him this morning. Thank God for His mercy and grace.